Good morning, family. If you would please turn in your Bibles to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning in the 25th verse, Luke 14, 25. You know, at age 20, Anthony's father died, leaving him a substantial fortune, his widowed mother, and his sister to take care of. Now, one day, Anthony was late coming into church, and he caught the tail end of the message, and in the tail end of that message, what he heard was Jesus saying that everyone needs to renounce all they have, including their families, to be his disciples. Now, Anthony took those words personally and quite literally. So he went out, sold or gave away all his material resources, and placed his mother and his sister in the care of someone else. See what happens when you're late to church? What he did was headed out into the desert to live alone for the rest of his life. This was about 271 A.D. in Egypt, and Anthony kind of became known as the founder of Christian monasticism. Now, what Jesus actually did say is still a challenge to all of us. Beginning here in verse 25, we read that large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first down and estimate the cost, see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he'll send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Now that sounds pretty harsh, even extreme. There were days growing up when it would not have been a challenge for me to renounce my siblings. And there have been times when dealing with moody teenagers that I have contemplated putting them in a monastery. But seriously, renounce my mother and father? Renounce all my possessions? Did Jesus really mean that? Yes. In the way Anthony took it? No. Think about it. Jesus did not abandon his own family. One of his last acts on the cross, recorded in the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, was to make sure, before he died, that his mother was taken care of. He said to the disciple whom he loved, who was right there at the cross, said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," and to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that day forward, that disciple took care of Mary as if she was his own mother. So Jesus made sure she was taken care of. But he also did not put his family in front of kingdom work. In the third chapter of the Gospel of Mark, his family thought he was nuts. The text says that they thought he'd lost his mind. So they went to get him and stop him from what he was doing. And he refused to go with them. On another occasion, as recorded in the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter, his brothers tried to manipulate him and his ministry. but he would not play their game. In John chapter 2, his mama tried to get him to do something prematurely. And he told her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My time has not yet come." Now, he did do something, but it looks like he didn't do what she was hoping he would do. She didn't get to dictate the terms of his ministry. So he wouldn't let them do that. But think about it. If everyone who followed Jesus quit their jobs and gave away all their stuff, how would Jesus and the apostles have been able to get by? The apostles and Jesus did quit their jobs, and Jesus gave up what little stuff he had to begin with. He said, "Foxes have holes in the ground, but I've got no place." But Luke chapter 8, the first three verses, tells us that one of the reasons he and his disciples were able to traverse all of Israel for 3 years, going up and down the country preaching and teaching, was because there were certain ladies who had stuff and had an income. And they were using that income to support Jesus and the apostles. Now, how would they have been able to do that had they given it all up? The Apostle Paul rebuked those Christians in the church of Thessalonica who were moochers, who didn't have jobs and didn't want jobs. And he told them that they not only needed to get jobs to support themselves, but they needed to use those jobs to help take care of others. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 6, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we didn't have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They're not busy, they're busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat." If you think about it, Peter didn't dump his wife when he became a disciple of Jesus Christ and one of the apostles. 1 Corinthians 9:5, Paul observes, "Don't we have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas?" If you look at 1 Timothy 3, elders and deacons are supposed to be family men. They're supposed to be husbands who are faithful to their wives and fathers who manage their children well. How can you do that if you're supposed to renounce your family? They didn't dump their wife and kids for the sake of the gospel. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 4 and verses 8, it makes it clear that part of being a faithful Christian is taking care of your family. And if you don't take care of your family, it says you're not a Christian. "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." In verse 8, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So if we're abiding by this, where do we get the idea we need to dump our families for the sake of the gospel? How do you reconcile what we read in 1 Timothy 3 and 1 Timothy 5? How do you reconcile that with what Jesus said in Luke 14? What does it mean for me to hate my family and renounce all I have to be a disciple? Well, truth be told, for some people, it may actually mean literally getting rid of all their stuff. A few chapters later in Luke 18, a rich young ruler came to Jesus. He wanted to know what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. So Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. He says, I've done that. Which, if you think about it, it's pretty presumptuous. But he went ahead and he said he kept all the law, done all that kind of stuff. So Jesus said, okay then, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And the young man walked off, unwilling to do that. Why did Jesus tell that young man to get rid of his stuff when he didn't tell everybody to get rid of their stuff? I think Jesus saw that this man's stuff was more important to him than the kingdom. And that's really what this is all about. Do we have relationships in our lives, relationships with other people, relationship with possessions that are more important to us than our relationship with God? More important to us than kingdom work, that actually get in the way of kingdom work? I think what Jesus said in Luke 14 means that we need to be careful not to make our families and not to make our things of equal or greater importance than our relationship with God. It means that you and I need to develop a caretaker mentality with our relationships with other people and our relationship with things. What do I mean by caretaker? What I mean is your family isn't yours. It's God's, first and foremost. And He's given you those relationships to take care of for Him. And the things you have are not yours. They're God's. And He's given them to you, not for keeps, but to manage for Him. And manage them in such a way that they build up His kingdom. Treat these relationships with other people and with things as though you are stewards of God, because that is what we are. And we dedicate them to kingdom service. One of the things that means as a parent is to raise up your children to know God. Now, there'll come a time when that has to be their decision, but have you equipped them with the right tools to make that decision? Have you given them good examples to follow? These are things we have to ask ourselves. Anyone or anything that is more important in our lives than our relationship with God and with kingdom work needs a relationship adjustment. That's what Luke 14 is saying. And sometimes that adjustment may need to be extreme. I mean, if that relationship with a particular person or with a particular set of stuff keeps getting more important to you than your relationship with God, then it may be time to put that aside. You know, one of the things we need to learn, one of the things we need to teach, is that we need to make godly choices in our lives. I could do a whole set of sermons on that. I taught a series of classes to the high school group on that, making godly choices. Because if you think about it, our lives are pretty much defined by the choices we make every day. And one of the most important choices is friends and those we run around with. Are we going to choose the kind of people who will affirm us in the Lord, strengthen us on our journey, and help us to walk with God Or are we going to choose friends who pull us away from God? That's a choice we have to make. And Jesus said in Luke 14, you need to choose God. And those relationships with people and things that will help you put God first. Because if He's not first, with God there's no such place as second or third. It's first or not at all. There's no middle ground, there's no in between. If we are to be disciples of Jesus Christ, if we are to be His followers, He comes first, period. This is what I think Jesus is trying to tell us in Luke 14. He's not telling us to go be hermits, as much as that holds an appeal sometimes. He's telling us, put God first. Appreciate you listening, family. We've come to a time in our service that we set aside for sharing. Maybe you need help in some area of your life, struggling in some area, and you would appreciate the prayers of your brothers and sisters to encourage you and strengthen you and give you discernment in the choices you make. Let us do that for you. Or perhaps you want to know more about Jesus, who says difficult things to us, like we just read in Luke 14. But He says them for our benefit. We need to hear them. You want to know more about this Jesus who loves you enough to speak truth to you. And you want to explore having a saving relationship with Him. We would be happy to sit down with you, open up the Word of God, and let it show you how to come in to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. How to make Him first in your life and be His disciple. If you have any need, we invite you to make it known. We're about to stand. We're seeing. You can come forward. One of our shepherds here, Phil, you can talk to him and he will share what you want shared with the church family. Join me as we stand, please.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you, singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you, singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Thank you all for coming today, and if you're visiting with us today, we appreciate you very much and hope that you can come back and be with us every opportunity. To remind everybody, we do have Bible classes for most of the age groups, and this following our dismissal at about 10:30. There's a long list, as usual, in the bulletin of those that need prayer. We have some that are recovering from surgery, others that need some surgery, and others hurting for various reasons and healing. So let's keep those brothers and sisters in our minds as we pray this week. And, Lord, we humbly come before you. Thank you so much for loving us the way you do, loving us so much you were willing to sacrifice your Son. Help us, Father, that we can develop that kind of love, love that only comes from you. Help us to show that love to you and your Son, as well as to all others in the world, as we seek out to them and share the gospel with them. Father, we understand, as Stephen preached today, that we're tempted by worldly things, and it's awful easy to allow those worldly things to cloud our mind and to think they are more important than you. But help us, Father, to draw closer to you. As we're taught in the scripture, when we draw closer to you, the devil will flee from us. And we pray that the devil that we'd be able to do that. Father, there are many in our family that are hurting and pain and stress and worry and for various reasons, healing from surgeries or needing surgeries. And we ask, Father, that you will give them the pain relief or the stress relief, whatever it may be, that they can gain through your word and through prayer, that they will grow closer to you and find that relief, Father. Father, as we depart today, we pray you will be with each of us, and we pray we'll participate in the classes and seek to learn more from your word, Father. We all are weak at times and fall short of your word. We ask forgiveness of our sins. Pray that we'll be stronger as we go throughout this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.